Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello, all you beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Good Game, Nice Try. I'm Sonya Reed, or OMG, it's Firefox, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Aaron Blair. Hello.
Now, look, I know you said hello, beautiful people, but maybe there's people out there that aren't beautiful, and that's okay too. I just want you all to know that we see you for the people you are inside, right?
Inside and out, I think you're all beautiful.
And it's coming from someone who's not, I wouldn't consider myself a beautiful person, but I am beautiful on the inside. So I'm reaching out to those people who are maybe like me out there. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Good Game, Nice Try. Look, I'm very excited about this episode this week.
Yes.
Ask me why I'm excited.
I mean, there's nothing really going on in the gaming world.
There's nothing happening.
Nothing crazy happening this week. It's been pretty boring, so I don't know what you could possibly be excited for.
It's pretty chill, except there is one tiny little thing I think that happened.
What?
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, is it this breathtaking situation?
Yeah, it's Cyberpunk 2077,
yes.
Everybody. That's right. We're gonna have our people insert some cool sounds of people screaming and excited and
happy screaming,
happy,
not like
yeah, right,
concerned
yeah.
screaming,
not running from Godzilla screaming, more running towards Godzilla. I don't know what the
I don't know what.
But
the
Cyberpunk 2077 is out and ooh baby, am I excited?
Mm. Yes, this has gotta be. It's definitely one of, if not the most anticipated game of the year, I would say.
God.
So, I mean, like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course I'm excited.
It's either this or the sequel to Death Flush. Death Flush 2. Flush harder.
Yes.
Those are the two. It's Cyberpunk 77 and Death Flush 2 are the two. But I think Cyberpunk 2077 takes the cake for most anticipated.
They've been pretty neck and neck, but yeah. I think Cyberpunk does come out on top. It came out yesterday, though.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to satiate my cravings just by going through their social media and trying to like pick up anything I can. And they did this teaser video with Johnny Silverhand.
Gotta get out of here, understand? And I'll kill anyone who gets in my way.
And he just sounds like such a badass.
Well, Johnny Silverhand, as we all know, is played by Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
So it's hard to not make him badass. I don't know if you can. Can you make Keanu Reeves not badass? I don't think it's possible. Even in The Lake House, which was like a rom-com weird. Honestly, okay, I honestly did cry at the end. But even he was a badass even in that rom-com.
Pick a place. I'll be there, I promise. Tomorrow, what do you say?
But Alex, it won't be tomorrow for you. You're going to have to wait.
I know. I don't care. I'll wait.
Keanu Reeves, badass 24/7. 25/8, some would say.
Some would say that.
They
mathematically impossible.
They add an extra day and an extra hour because he's so badass. But he's a main part of this game. You know, and it's made by CD Projekt Red, who obviously made The Witcher. And we did a great Clueless Gamer with The Witcher 3 with Conan. That was super fun.
I'm the Emperor of Milfgaard, if you know what I mean.
So the Emperor of Milfgaard.
You've got to stop talking.
Okay.
You can't talk anymore.
There's so much great stuff. You know what? We could talk about Cyberpunk all day. We could talk about how dreamy Keanu Reeves is all day. And we will after we're done recording. We're going to keep talking about Keanu Reeves. But we got to get to our guest. We have a great guest today. She is one of my favorite video game people in the world, and she is in Cyberpunk 2077, which is very exciting, of course. She's all over the gaming industry. She's a writer, she's a producer, she's a gaming journalist, the holy trifecta of gaming. And you might remember her, she made a few headlines a little while back because due to it harassed her online, she contacted their parents and sent their parents these messages, which is like, I love karma. She's also the host of the podcast Play, Watch, Listen, which you can also find on YouTube. Everybody, please welcome Alana Pierce. Hi, Alana.
Hi.
Good to see you.
What's up?
Oh, nothing. We're done, everybody. Thank you, everyone.
And that's it. All right. Thank you.
It's a short podcast tonight. That's a short podcast.
Keep it quick.
We are so excited you're here for many reasons, but I would love to get started with, look, let's talk a little cyberpunk. You are in the game.
It's true, yes.
And your character looks amazing. Can you describe your character to us?
So my character in Cyberpunk is a nomad. You know, it's a very small character in that I can't give you like this deep understanding of what I went through to become this character.
We can make it up.
Yeah, I did give myself a bit of a backstory, to be fair.
I love it.
Well, because it also has the context of it being my actual accent, being an Australian accent of a person who's living in the outskirts of Night City, which is like sort of an LA type. And I was like, that's got to fit in there somewhere. But I do think that what I get to do is very cool. So I'm only available in the nomad path. And you will find me if you're playing through Cyberpunk, because you will at some point get this little ping that basically tells you that your car, as a nomad, you're very attached to your vehicles, your car, old car, has been located. And I'm the one who has it. So Ooh. I've basically found V's car and am trying to modify it so that I can actually leave the area to try to get the hell out of Night City. And what players have to deal with when they find me is sort of a decision between, do I want my old car back? That is something that is definitely very important to V. Do I want to hear this stranger out, the stranger being me, about why they need the car, why they want the car, what they've done to it? There are some cute little like arguments about what kind of modifications the car actually needs. And like, I get served a bit by V there for doing something incorrectly, even though I'm like technically a mechanic of sorts. But yeah, I'm on a journey to try to leave Night City because it's a bad place that I need to get out of. And I'm pretty sure people can murder me. I'm not actually sure.
Oh, no.
I think that can happen. It's going to be interesting for me to watch. Because yeah, we are recording this before it comes out. So I have not seen any of that just yet, but that's basically it. It was definitely very cool to get to be a part of this and to get to less about the character specifically, because like I said, it is more focused on it being about V's car. And that is a cool thing that, canonically I have been able to inhabit. It's pretty rad. But the character herself is just going through some emotional struggles, a difficult time that I won't spoil. And trying to leave Night City and get as far away as possible because of that.
I was telling Sonia earlier that I'm in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas as a 25% of all the joggers / personal trainers. And so when that game came out, I got like 40 texts of just dead bodies where people are like, found you, found you, found
no.
you, found you.
I also love how they've preserved the accent. I love how they kept the accent. And I was listening to something you had talked about recently, too, about how they've even kept some of your birthmarks and freckles.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about like the process of how you're actually
yeah,
modeled
sure.
in the game?
It was a really cool process. The whole team was just so excited. They were figuring out what my quest was at first, which was before I had a role in After Party where I play a DJ. I asked if I could be a DJ. I was like, is there a chance where I could be a DJ?
Yes.
It would have been very cool if I were a DJ across multiple games, but
so
they didn't. I know, they didn't have a role for it. So they chose the quest. I spoke to the quest designer about what they were going to do there, which was a lot of fun. And then the process of getting me actually into the game was literally just a series of pictures. They basically were like, we need these angles with this amount of things. We need this type and this type. So I wasn't actually scanned into the game. So it is not an accurate, you know, scan of me. It's not my body. The internet complained that my boobs look too small. They had an image of me where I'm wearing a sports bra and a t-shirt. It would have been weird if they'd made it look different, if I'm being honest. There are also some people who are like, you gave them naked pictures of you. Do you know what you've done? It's like, no, of course I didn't. Come on. No, just pictures of me in clothing. Come on.
Oh my God.
So it was basically just following guidelines and getting these pictures. And I didn't ask for anything. I was like, you guys do whatever you want with these. But it's very cool to see, like, they have this freckle that I have on my cheek here that's, like, exactly there in the game. And I feel like, my nose is, like, such an uncommon shape, and it's, like, so wild to see it, like, on a character. I'm like, whoa, you got my nose. I think they have this one freckle that's on my belly button, even though I did not send pictures of that. It's, like, it's just, whoa. It's very, very cool.
Whoa.
I mean, there are pictures of me in a bikini on the internet somewhere.
Me too.
I think they did, at least, but, yeah, very, very cool stuff that's, like, so surreal to see in a video game that I've been excited about since that reveal trailer forever ago, and I'm such a huge fan of CD Projekt Red. Witcher 3 is my favorite game of the last generation, so being involved in this in any capacity was really awesome, and their excitement was really cool. Like, literally everyone I've spoken to at the studio, even the people directing me in the booths, even the feedback I was getting as we did a few iterations of the scripts and stuff, was just so, they're just so passionate about what they've done. Anything you work on where the people around you are passionate about what they're doing, it makes it more exciting to work on. So my experience was, like, extremely positive. They were a great team to work with, for sure.
Did they allow you to do any, like, improv, or was it all scripted, or how did that
work? I mean, a little bit. There was a small amount of flexibility there, but I, like, tend to just run on the assumption that they know better than me, so I wasn't trying to. I think I probably could have pitched stuff. Like I said, I did pitch originally. I was like, can I be a DJ? Because I think that would be really cool if I'm just a DJ in multiple video games.
I agree.
Again, no room for a DJ. But no, my attitude was very much like, you're one of my favorite studios ever. I'm not going to tell you how to do any of this. I will listen to what you have to say. Am I doing this okay? Can I do this better? How do we feel about this? There was one part where I guess, like, the way that a sentence was written, I was like, this sentence is a bit strange. And they were like, well, the sentence is strange because you haven't encountered the way that people speak in Night City yet. So it wasn't written correctly because certain words are removed because they have a different kind of shorthand. So that was kind of a lore thing that I just wasn't aware of until I was reading the script. So it is a slightly different way of speaking that definitely confused me at first. And then, that happened. And I was like, you guys know what you're doing. I'm not going to give anything. You've got it. I'm just here to try to help. Maybe, hopefully, I didn't screw it up.
Wow, that is really, really cool. I love that. And that is the depth of thought that goes into something like that is super fascinating. I love that stuff.
They definitely thought everything through. I can 100% confirm that. I said, just so cool to watch all of that stuff, even be a tiny part of it. But also from just every time I've ever spoken to the team or the small amount of the game that I did get to play several months ago, it was just mind-blowingly cool, and I hope everyone's enjoying it while playing it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of, you're such a great writer, and it must have been really cool to get some insights in working with CD Projekt Red, just from a writer's perspective. Was there anything you learned just in terms of storytelling or the way they approach, like in terms of the way that they approach that dialogue, that kind of lore? Are there any writery lessons you took from your work in Cyberpunk?
For all the video games that I have worked on, Cyberpunk is the first one that has had dialogue options. And watching the way that they even map that out from a script perspective is so different from anything that I'd ever seen, in that it's there are branching trees and linking trees, basically in something that looks like a giant Excel spreadsheet, where they have to manage, like, this is said in this tone and this is said in this tone and this is said in this tone, to make sure that, you know, when I go in there as a voice actor, that I can be like, okay, well, this one is the sad line that comes off of that line potentially. But it's also really difficult to write that stuff when you have to make sure every single sentence, despite the tone that the previous sentence was said in, can link with the next one, even if the next one isn't said with the same aggressive tone. It's, like, very difficult. I have written on something like that once before, but it's very difficult to do, and it was really cool to see how they have it all mapped out in person, for sure. Just so, such a good indication of how incredibly difficult video games are to make and to write, for sure. When you're thinking it's not just throwaway lines, and there are lines written in there that people will potentially never see because they've made the opposite choices, but you still have to write every single one with just as much care and detail as the previous one. So definitely cool to see that in person and watch how much effort it went into, you know, just giving players a lot of choices, a lot of options, for sure.
In my mind, I know they're using a program to do that, but in my mind, it's like a yarn wall, like in True Detective.
I mean, that's a cool process to have. I love to use, as Blay likes to say, how the sausage is made. Seeing kind of like the behind the scenes of that creation. And I guess, you know, talking about writing, you have a new job. Which is really, really exciting. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and your new role?
Oh, all I can tell you is that I'm a writer at video game company Santa Monica Studio for Sony. That's literally all I can say.
I mean, that's huge.
It is. It's very exciting. I was making a lot of effort to write on video games, an animated show, and write a lot of stuff in my spare time to sort of like try to get into video game writing. Like, this is what I really, really wanted to do. And then a junior position came up at Santa Monica Studio, which, you know, is something that's so rare. So, you know, I had to jump at the opportunity, obviously. An absolute pleasure to be working there, but cannot tell you anything about it.
You know, you've talked about how you've been, you know, kind of public facing and, you know, on video and doing hosting stuff, but, you know, like writing's where your heart's at. And now are you excited to kind of be a little more behind the scenes?
Absolutely. It's so good. writing has been the thing that I've still done with most of my time. Even when I was at Rooster Teeth, I was writing Inside Gaming Daily every day and doing a lot of editing. So it's something that I've never not done. And I still really enjoy content creation. That's a thing that I have a lot of fun with. But not having my job have to be public is very nice, because it's like I can choose when I want to do that. It doesn't have to be a thing that I have to do. And it's also, it can be difficult when you feel like you're making content in an immediate to entertain an audience. Like, I think that that's just like, obviously you guys would know about that. It can be very difficult to like deal with the pressure of, especially this year, I've had a fair amount of it, of like, I just want to help people get through this pandemic, give them content to watch. And like, you put all that on your shoulders sometimes, and that can be really tough. And I think it's, you know, after I wrote for 2 years before I started working on camera, and I've effectively been on camera for, I would say, 7 years now. And it's definitely not something I'm going to stop doing. I don't have to stop streaming. I don't have to stop my YouTube channel or any of that. But it's certainly nice to be able to separate it from my professional life and just have it be a hobby, and have that pressure removed is something that I'm very happy to have. And just so much respect to people who do content creation full time, which I've never done as an independent, because it's really hard, and in a way that nobody ever gives anyone credit for, ever. It's like, what, do you sit in front of a camera and talk about video games? It's so much harder than that, and so taxing, and people pry so much, and it's also extremely rewarding, of course, but it's like a job you just constantly get mocked for while also working very hard for an audience that it's I can't even imagine doing it full time. I feel like it's got to be so tough. So definitely a ton of credit to the people who are doing that to such a great degree too.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You've had your mom, you've streamed with your mom. How is she as a streamer?
So I've made YouTube videos with my mom, no streaming, because alas, my internet connection in Australia is so poor that I cannot stream if I go home. It just doesn't work. But I have, I've had my mom on podcasts. I did a full playthrough of Until Dawn with my mom on my YouTube channel. I've had my dad on videos. My dad is a massive attention whore. So I made him play VR for the first time and recorded him. And he's just sitting there like it is a stand-up routine, making jokes and just like going wild.
That's so good. And I guess I have to ask, what VR did you put your dad in? Like, what was he playing?
I made him play Job Simulator.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's cute.
He's just very cool because he, like, you know, my dad makes jokes about video games all the time, and then he's really bad at them. Like, he'll always be like, oh, can you, like, sue Nintendo because I keep falling off Rainbow Road? Like, he makes all those dad jokes about how he tries to, like, get involved in my hobby, but just garbage at it.
Your dad and I share that in common. Your dad and I share that in common. I'm also terrible.
He picked up Job Simulator so perfectly that I felt like it was just such a testament to VR that he knew exactly what to do and how to do it immediately. The only issue he had was he would try to lean on something that wasn't there and then occasionally fall over. Oh, no. Yeah, but aside from that, like, it was crazy to watch because I think like he was 60 when I put him in VR and just perfectly understood everything. Like, fully, awesome. You know, made that garbage in that kitchen in Job Simulator. And it was it was really cool to watch. Like, I got to get my grandma next. She's 93. And I'm like, I'm going to take my Oculus Quest home. You'll see, Nan.
Did you feel... So the first time I ever did Job Simulator... First time I ever did VR was Job Simulator. And I played it for like 2.5 hours. Did you feel like this is all a VR game when you got out of
it? I got out and I was just disappointed. I'm like, I'm just going back in. I'm like, it's way less colorful. I'm just putting this back on.
I've reviewed a few VR games and one of them was Chronos, which is a game I really love. But that is quite a long game. It's like one of the longer VR games. It's very much like a Zelda Dark Souls type. And I was playing it for like 6 hour stints. And one of those, I missed a meeting because you just lose concept of time. Like you just, and then I got out. Got out of VR is such a weird phrase, but I took the headset off and it was dark outside and it was like I had left the casino. I was just like, wait, what? Yeah, it definitely feels
no
like, yeah, it feels super weird. And I keep having this with Animal Crossing lately that I was playing so much Animal Crossing that I would then see a bug in the real world and I'd be like, Or I'd see like a straight line of like flowers or something and be like, nice planting formation. Wait a minute. But it was happening to me for a really long time.
Yeah, when you mentioned your dad kind of leaning into VR, I had a little flashback to my experience playing Job Simulator. And I think it was a longer stint of like 5 to 6, 7 hours playing VR. And then I was finally like, oh man, I'm really tired. I'm just going to put these controllers down for a sec. And I tried to put them on the counter that was in front of me in Job Simulator. And then I just heard them crash on the floor. I saw a video that you did where you opened up a little bit more about your battle with mental health at a point. And how playing games kind of like helped you through that, and specifically playing The Witness,
yeah,
a puzzle game, super colorful. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess looking back, you mentioned a good question: how mental health is represented in video games. Do you feel that it's grown in representation in this space?
I'm on the board of a charity organization called Checkpoint, which specifically focuses on the relationship between mental health and video games. And we have a ton of resources about that exact thing.
Yeah,
that is very much like...
Great.
Because the thing about mental health is there's so many shades of it, right? Like, I have people all the time ask me about anxiety, and I'm like, I don't have anxiety. I'm not a person who suffers from anxiety. I don't feel I can help you with that. But there are... this list of games that we created that can help people who have anxiety. I have had depression before, so I can try to relate to you about depression or talk to you about depression as someone who's dealt with that thing, even though I recognize it's different for everyone. So, but yeah, Checkpoint has tried to put together as many resources as possible to try to help people out with that stuff. I think
That's
sometimes
awesome.
It's just worth, A, the sense of reward that you get from video games. Like, I maintain that we don't really like playing MMOs. We just like the cool-looking armor and the sense of accomplishment from finishing a quest. It's just clicking. Do you really enjoy that? I don't know that you do. But you get this sense of accomplishment that maybe, especially for people who are disabled, this is a huge thing. I had a lot of health problems last year that meant that I was bedridden for a pretty long time. And the sense of accomplishment you get from video games, especially like when you can be a character who can physically do things that you may not be able to do, is just so rewarding. Yeah, there are a lot of different avenues to explore there and a lot of different ways to get even an endorphin rush from games. But then I also always want to recommend that people play things that are chill, like games like Abzu
is a
really beautiful chill game. Playing Minecraft in creative mode is something that can be really relaxing. There's a game called Descenders that I play anytime that I'm particularly stressed. It's a downhill mountain biking game.
Aww.
So,
have you played
stuff.
Gris or Grease or GRIS?
I haven't, but it is beautiful.
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely. It's
how
like
it's short, right?
Well, I'm dumb and slow, so it's long for me. But it is a short game for most people. Yes, that's true. And it's interesting that you mention, because about it being an individual, mental health is so individual, right? And it's interesting about how different games can satisfy those
you know, different deficiencies in all of us. And one thing in particular I loved about The Witness was not just that it was calm and all these things, but in terms of like my mental health, it was really interesting because I found that game amazing, but so frustrating in certain parts.
Yeah.
And it's like, so for people who don't know, The Witness is, it's by Jonathan Blow, who did Braid. You're on this island. It's beautiful. It's colorful. There's no other people. What I loved about it was, and something I didn't expect, is it gave me confidence when I figured out a puzzle, because it doesn't teach you anything. There's no words in it. So you're just figuring out these mazes that all have different rules. And it gave me confidence in a great way. And I think that's something that's really never talked about in video games. Like when you're talking about like playing MMOs, and it's not the clicking we like, it's the fact that it's empowering us, which is, I think, something that's never really talked about. Even like Counter-Strike or something is empowering people in a certain way, you know, making them
feel. I think puzzle games are especially good about that. Like The Witness is such a good example because of that language you're talking about, where it doesn't tell you how to do the thing. It just gives you the thing and trusts that you'll figure out how to do it, which I feel like makes it extra rewarding. Yeah, that was a great game for me to be playing during a really dark period of time. Well, you're right. Like I was also, you know, yelling like, curse you, Jonathan Blow.
Oh, my God.
Parts of it are really hard. But
then once you got it.
Yeah. No, I was still mad at him.
All right. Well, let's talk about best game, worst game.
I'm going to start with my hated game because, look, I don't have a good answer. Okay. So if you, like, I've been thinking about this since it came up. You're like, what game do you hate? And I'm like, I don't know that I hate any video game, so it's hard. However, I have opinions on Alan Wake that people really love. That
I have opinions.
That I bring up a lot to the extent that it makes it sound like I hate that game a lot more than I do because I'm in it for the meme at this point. So I was like, if I'm going to talk about anything, it's probably going to be goddamn Alan Wake. Again, beloved, Sam Lake's a great writer. I love that studio. I even liked their next game, which nobody really likes. Control is fantastic, etc. Alan Wake. This motherfucker has the audacity to tell me that he is on this quest to save his wife, right? This, like, all this shit's happening. You gotta save your wife. That's what's driving you forward in the story. Meanwhile, every time he talks about his wife, he fucking hates her. So how am I supposed to feel your drive, Alan, to leave this shitty cabin in this shitty woods to go find your stupid wife that you clearly don't care about?
You don't even care about.
You don't even like her. I don't like her.
So now you want to get me committed?
No, it's not like that. That's not... Alan? Alan?
I don't. Just don't.
What if we just left her? Be fine.
Yeah, can we take this in a different direction?
Yeah.
And just... What if we leave? She could be off with some other man being happy and not with her husband who hates her because he's this like broody writer. Like everything could be fine. You don't have to do that. But then because the game focuses so much on Alan being this noir detective writer type, who's that generic sad boy that I feel like, you know, Max Payne is, but I do love Max Payne. Alan, like, also narrates everything in a way that it just is so much shit that he does that I just, like, started to hate him.
I could sense the movement in the woods ahead. Facing the enemy without a weapon was dangerous, but I had no choice.
You know, like, you have to go in a certain direction, and you know you have to go there because it's a relatively linear game. That's the way you have to go. But then the camera zooms in on a ladder, and then Alan says, "Guess I gotta go up that ladder." And I'm like, "Oh no, shit, really?"
Oh, riveting, cool. Riveting thanks, narration.
I had to figure that out.
Riveting. That speaks to something I really hate in video games, which is when the character says something to themselves that like. You would never, you don't speak like that. You're like, oh, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty shitty. I should maybe eat some food. Yeah. I just eat. I don't, you know.
I feel like Naughty Dog games do it in a way that like annoys me a little bit because it means that they know. So they'll be like, oh, another locked door. And I'll be like, the fact that you wrote that means you know that I'm annoyed that there's another locked door. Just get rid of the locked door. Don't write the line of dialogue. Or like Nathan Drake's like, oh, I got to slide down another mud hill. I'm like, you knew that was the thing that I didn't want to do. So like, don't write it. Just get rid of the mud.
Yes, you do. Just go.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate that they speak to me when I'm playing through things. But yeah, I developed over time this irrational hate of Alan Wake and his broody, like, emo boy bullshit. Well, I finished that game and enjoyed it.
Do you think that you hate the game more than he hates his wife? Or is it, like, a pretty
I don't know that that's possible.
Balanced.
Yeah, okay. I don't know that I can compete with that. That's a lot of hate. He does not give a fuck about her. But I do really, like, enjoy playing that game, and I did finish it twice, but I just feel like my hate for Alan became a badge that I wear of just, like, fuck you, Alan Wake. I don't know why I'm doing all of this for you.
We need
ass.
A physical badge that says that, yeah. Maybe.
Fuck you, Alan Wake.
It would be great, yeah, to do. Maybe you write a game where it's from the point of view of his wife, and she's like, my spoiled husband is such a turd. Yeah, exactly. It's just
Which, alone. Conversely, jumps right into what my favorite game is, if you guys are ready for that.
Yes,
because
please.
It's the exact same genre. The game is the same. My what? Favorite game is Deadly Premonition, which is bad.
I've never heard of it.
I've never
what
even
is
heard
it?
Of it.
What
well,
is
the
it?
Second
Explain
game
it.
Just came out. It's either a 0 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10, depending on who you ask.
Okay.
Deadly Premonition is what happens when a Japanese writer-director watches Twin Peaks and decides he wants to make an American detective video game in a weird town that is Twin Peaks. But you can tell he's never been to the Pacific Northwest because it's really off. The characters are completely insane. It's Twin Peaks the video game, but weirder.
What do you think is really happening here in Greenvale?
Zach, it's all starting to come together.
Love this.
Because, again, written by a Japanese man who's clearly never been to the Pacific Northwest.
Love this.
It's a survival horror. The director's cut really gets rid of a lot of the combat because supposedly Swery, the director, didn't even really want to have any of the combat. They were like, we probably should. It's a video game. So there's just like some spooky combat bits. There are boss fights where like you're basically fighting like Super Saiyan Hulk. It gets very strange, but it is ultimately a detective game set in a town where these girls keep dying and you have to figure out who's doing it and why. And everyone's really weird. So figuring it out is very, very, very fun.
Cool.
What's like the most off? Like what really throws you off?
What
in
is
that?
The most off in Deadly Premonition? If you play it,
if you can,
and you should, you will be like, I get why that was hard for her to answer. The most off, I mean, there's this character who's just like in a driveway holding a pot, like yelling at you about how she can't find one of her shoes.
So the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Pretty much. the most famous cutscene, which I implore you both to go watch, is about this thing called a Sinner's Sandwich, which is the Kellogg's cereal. I'm forgetting the name of. Cornflakes. It's cornflakes. I think it's Kellogg's turkey and jam. So it's those in a sandwich. And this one character is like at a diner and orders that.
The usual. One turkey, strawberry jam, and cereal sandwich.
Sounds like the sinner's sandwich. Self-inflicted punishment to atone for past sins.
And it's a sinner's sandwich, and then it's just like dramatic cut of other people being like, the sinner's sandwich. He must be repenting for his sins.
Stop.
And it's just, it's, again, bad video game. But it is the most endearing, bizarre experience that even though it's like if you're asking me for like the objective best video game of all time, it's Portal. But if you're asking me for my favorite video game of all time, it's Deadly Premonition, which is like in the objective list, like 10,000. It gets really fun.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah, I absolutely love that game. And like I said, it's either a 10 out of 10. I think Jim Sterling gave it a 10 out of 10. I think IGN at the time maybe even gave it a 9 or a 10.
Wow.
But it has plenty of zeros as well.
But that's very it. Much. It's like a favorite games. It's all personal opinion.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Alana, Pierce, thank you so much for being here. Mm-hmm. This was an absolute treat for us.
Absolutely.
Of course. Thank you.
I cannot wait to play Cyberpunk. I think talking to Alana makes me want to play Cyberpunk more. I want to sink deep into Night City and maybe go find her character or something, right?
Seems fun. That's a priority now. I'm going to meet up with Alana.
It's a life goal.
We're going to kick it in the junkyard.
I'm putting it on my bucket
list. Yeah. It'll be like actually having some kind of human interaction with somebody that I know in a completely different format.
What's that like?
Human interaction? What?
Oh, God.
I don't know what that is anymore. But I do know that Alana is fantastic, and she does fantastic work in the gaming industry,
also with mental illness. So make sure to check out checkpointorg.com if you want to learn some more about that. And you can hang out with Alana a little bit more on Play, Watch, Listen on YouTube. And don't leave just yet. We do have a special treat for you.
That's right. When we come back, we're going to get Conan's thoughts on Cyberpunk 2077. So put your big boy pants on and buckle up. We'll be right back.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, well, before we go today, we have a special treat for everybody. We're going to bring Conan O'Brien in and talk to him a little bit about Cyberpunk 2077 in a segment we like to call the Clueless Minute. This is exciting. This is exciting.
Yeah, we do have a special guest today.
You guys don't seem excited at all. Can I just say something? You guys are like, oh, this is exciting. Yeah, there's someone here. You know what I mean? You made it sound like the guy with uranium waste is here. You know, it's Conan O'Brien. You know, there should be some excitement. And instead, you guys, you know, you're enduring our kooky uncle who has smells like potatoes.
Like, oh, God, he's here,
yeah.
I guess.
But no, I am glad. I'm proud of you guys. I think you're doing a good job. And I know that I have a reputation for not being great at video games, but I do like to try and stay current. I want to appear cool to my kids and their friends. So if it's okay, I like to pop in periodically and just find out what's going on.
Well, we're glad you're here because I think we want to kind of get your temperature about a game that's very hot. So how about we play a little game among ourselves and I'll show you a little artwork from the game and you kind of try to guess what it's about.
Sure, no problem.
All right, I'm pulling up the Cyberpunk image now. So, Conan, can you describe what you're seeing?
Ah, there is a guy, looks to be, he's got some scars. I'm going to say late 20s, Caucasian, clearly a robotic arm. Probably I'd mention that first in a police description. That wouldn't be I wouldn't say male, white, 28. Oh, yeah, robotic arm. And I'm going to say that's the dumbest collar I've seen on a leather jacket in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Is that a fashion thing, the collar, or does it give him some kind of superpower? Because that I don't understand. If it's a fashion thing, it's a terrible mistake. But if it's protecting his neck and skull because it's creating some sort of beam or cushion, then I accept it.
It could be both.
As a fashion statement, I would never buy that coat.
I do think it is just a fact. In the future, in 2077, they got cool neon coats, you know?
Maybe it's like a mood ring, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a neck mood ring.
No, that's awful. That's awful. I was thinking that has to be doing something for him. And his arm looks like it's cracked. So is he... Oh, cyber. Oh, hey. So he's like
there
a...
There we go.
Okay. Yep. And punk. So... Huh. Is that the music he's into? Is he someone who's very submissive in jail? What does it mean?
I think he's just like it's like cool, like cyberpunk. Like
not with that collar. No.
Well,
no. He's
so
if he goes into any situation and is like, I am here, I am cyberpunk, the first thing they're gonna do is go, what's with the collar? And he's gonna be like, it is not important. Does it do anything or is that did that come with the jacket? Is it removable? Does it zip off? Because you should take it off. It is of no consequence. I am cyberpunk. Is that a reversible jacket? Can you reverse it so there's no, enough with the collar. Why do we have to keep talking about the collar?
I love how that's how he intros himself too. Like, hello, I am cyberpunk.
Yeah, well, maybe. That's what I do when I walk into a room. I go, hello, I am Conan O'Brien. And people say, is that jacket really what you're wearing? And then it's a whole thing.
In this game, you can, and you kind of hit it on the head, you can modify your body. You can give yourself cybernetic enhancements.
I love that.
Yeah,
I would love to enhance my body in any way I could.
What would you do?
Well, Sonia, that's a little personal. But
I feel like we're there.
Okay. Very nice of you to say. Let's see. I don't like my proportions of my body. My legs are very, very long, and then my torso is very, very small. So I have like these NBA center legs and then the torso of a six-year-old girl, and not a healthy one. So I would change the proportions of my body. That's what I would do.
You could
I would
do have. Any. You could put machine guns on your forearms. You could
nope,
do anything you want. You just want a
don't
proportionate
want
body.
I want a video game where you go into an alternate reality where Conan O'Brien has a proportionate body. I don't need weapons. I don't need superpowers. I don't need anything else other than a body that when I go to a tailor, he's like, oh, yeah, we can give you something off the rack. I don't want to have it made for me, and I don't want the tailor to go, whoa, 38-inch leg, that's crazy. So that's the – someone develop that game and call it Not Hate Yourself World 2077.
Right. I appreciate your priorities.
Yeah. You don't want any, like, laser eyes or anything? That's all you want.
I have laser eyes. Have you seen me when I'm not happy, Aaron?
Many times.
And I give someone a look?
Yes.
I have laser eyes.
Yes.
And I have very powerful... Sonia, I have... Blay has been with me for a very long time, and he's seen me under extreme circumstances, and he's seen my abilities. I have super strength when angered, kind of like the Hulk. I do have sort of laser eyes. I have a vein underneath my eye that pulsates when either threatened or enraged. So I think I have most of the things I would want.
You're already cyberpunk.
Thank you very much. I think I am cyberpunk. Not strong, not good in a fight, but in many other ways I am cyberpunk. Look, he's on a subway and he looks depressed.
That's right. I've just pulled up an image now where V is... So V, you play as V, a mercenary outlaw going after a one-of-a-kind implant that's the key to immortality. You can customize your player's cyberware, skill set, and play style and explore a vast city where the choices you make shape the story and the world around you.
You know what I will say? And this always happened whenever we would shoot gaming segments... the part that always broke me was when you would read the description, because so many times it was the same thing. It was, you're on a world called Heldrex 9. They've run low on Zabordium. You are one of the elders of 6. You must make it to the Council of 9, who have control over the League of 12. It's like, I'm gone. I can't follow you. It's this kooky local bureaucracy. You must find the Glorbar stone. Okay, what happens if I get that? Then you will be able to enter the world of Orbar. Wait, Glorbar? No, Orbar, idiot. So actually, this was the most succinct explanation. This guy is just looking for a live for a long time pill. Is that right?
Yes.
Essential.
Okay.
Yeah, with a cool collar.
Right. This is just look for a long time pill video game.
I like how the first image of him is him with the gun, and then this image is him on a subway, but he's not making any effort to holster the gun. He's just holding it. This is what it's like to hang out in Texas. Like, you know, you go to a Dairy Queen or you go to a caramel corn store, and the person serving you has a howitzer strapped to their thigh.
Do you think, so what's your kind of verdict? Do you think you'll be playing Cyberpunk 2077 or this doesn't really do it for you? I'm getting the sense maybe.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to say no. I don't want to say absolutely no. I might give it a shot. I would give this game a shot just to see what it's like. And the graphics look pretty cool. And I do like games where you get to fire a weapon. It does. I do. It unleashes a lot of the rage, which has been boiling inside of me since the Kennedy administration. So I say I'll give it a try.
All right, there we go. Great. Well, thanks. There. And now we all know your body modification wishes.
Yes, please. I want to buy clothes off the rack. So someone invent that game called Off the Rack.
Oh, Conesy. I don't think that I'm close enough to be calling him Conesy, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. It was good to get his take on what he would want, you know, a body modification in Cyberpunk.
I 100% agree with you. It's always a pleasure when he stops by, and I'm not just saying that because he pays me, and it's in my contract that I have to say it every time.
Well, thank you all for joining us and listening to this week's episode of Good Game, Nice Try. And don't forget, give it a little rate. Give it a little subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we want to hear from you too. So make sure to use hashtag GGNT Give us some game recommendations, some things you want us to review, anything. And if we end up using your suggestion, you can get a little treat. We're going to hook you up with some free stuff. So we will see you all next week.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Mr. Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Hannes Brown. Music by John Danick. See y'all next week.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.